Okay, so we'll call the Health Human Services and Housing Committee regular meeting November 2nd to order. Can I have a motion to approve the October 7th special and regular meeting minutes?
Motion.
Ms. Corcoran, second?
Second.
Second to
no. No, you got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So the first thing we have here is department budget discussions. Some departments, we've had some conversations, so I'm going to just sort of go down the line for a moment. We'll start with you, Tara, since you're all the way down there. So the question is whether there is a feeling that there's some need that your department has that maybe wasn't realized in the 2023 budget that we should know about, or whether there are any significant additions or reductions that are in there that might be useful for us to understand.
Sure. So based on the presentation that we had back in June and the recommendation for us to think big, we decided to not think so big, but certainly to think about more client-facing. So we asked for two positions that would do just that. They would be in the community providing services. One of them is a mental health specialist that will be doing like actual clinical services, like an ACT team, but just one person providing a number of services that would normally be able to be billed for, but since we're not Medicaid providers, we decided to start small with doing it without having to take insurance. And then maybe if it builds, then we could go back down the road of a Medicaid provider. But right now, we would just be offering the service to high-risk individuals in the community that don't traditionally do well with clinic services.
And can you explain how and where, like, where would those individuals get that service?
So they would be referred to us through our SPOA process. Could be our residential SPOA, could be our, however they come to our attention. Maybe they're in the hospital. And it would be that they don't have Medicaid, maybe they're going in and out of the hospital, so that it's noticing that they're not having enough community levels of support. Clinics aren't necessarily holding them. 45 minutes every 2 weeks is not necessarily the amount of service that they need, though they've tried it, right? So we're not jumping to having this therapist go out for folks that can be supported at a lower level, but they would be high risk, high need, not Medicaid, and getting therapy in their community, in their home, face to face. We based it off of what is in the Medicaid transformation plan. It's called core services. Katrina, I don't remember. But they're rehab services that are Medicaid based. So some of it is vocation, some are school services, you know, that sort of thing, but they're all in the community. It would be just this one staff person for to start, and they would be working really on clinical goals, but they would also be connecting individuals to other, making assessments for what they need in the community and connecting them to other levels of services that we have in the county. Another piece that's really exciting is that we also ask for the ability to have psychiatric on-call and backup for that. Prescribing is a huge issue. I'm not really sure how successful we'll be in finding a psychiatrist, but we ask for the money to be able to in earnest seek one and get one on board for like a per diem.
And so when do you have a sense of the number of high risk, high need overall and how many would be served by this one position?
So we have, right now, high-risk and high-need individuals are serviced most by our ACT team. They're serviced by, our Health Home
Plus?
Health Home Plus services. And so we have rosters for those individuals. And, yes, we can tell you how many folks are being served right now. But really what we're looking at is to be able to chop down on the wait list.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Like, how many don't get it that this is going to cover so that we have a sense of, like, how many of these therapists do we truly need to reach everyone?
So right now, if we were offering the service, we could start to address our wait list, which is about 11 people.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
That would be lower than I thought it was. Yeah. Maybe we've gotten it down that low.
Yeah.
Or this person would potentially be able to serve all 11, or?
They could serve all 11.
Okay, great. Anything else?
We are also looking to do a senior, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Got it, the senior reentry person.
You can take it up. My brain is fried.
So it's going to be a second senior case manager who's going to be providing reentry services to folks coming out of Ulster County Jail.
But seniors.
No, sorry. The title is senior case manager.
Because there's also a case manager for Department of Aging. Okay, I see. Senior case manager. And this is related to doing the reentry in-house rather than outhouse. And that's what this person's position would be.
And that was another piece of the conversation that we had during the presentation about things that we think that we would be able to handle in-house and starting small and becoming more client-facing.
Great. Anything else? Any questions for Tara, for the commissioner?
That's good.
So I guess the only thing I'd add is not now, but oh, you do.
I do just one more thing. I'm sorry, because I'm always thinking about the clinical and the programmatic, but we also need fiscal support, which we asked for and didn't get.
And admin.
And admin support, yes, that we asked.
What's the fiscal?
So the fiscal right now, we have a financial analyst as our lead fiscal person, and an accountant and a junior account. Junior account clerk. Thank you. In terms of the amount of management that is required for our $18 million and the $10 million of state aid that comes through, we really need someone that has more of a management position. In order for us to feel as if there is a person that has complete understanding of all of the intricacies of our financial matters. And so we were asking for a reclassification of our financial analyst to manager of fiscal operations.
But you did not get it.
No.
So it's a reclassification of
correct.
An existing line.
Correct.
Do you
want to
mention the address?
I will.
Does that reclassification increase the salary?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and could you get us what that amount would be?
I believe it's $20,000, but I can.
You could just email. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. And then the last one, it was a admin assistant, and we were looking really towards the future. Right now, the department has one admin specialist, but she also does contract management. She helps with our community services board, and she's also responsible for like our office management, telephone calls, that sort of thing. Though it's challenging now, we're figuring out how to be able to work it. Once we move to the new building and we're right in Broadway hoping that we'll have more client interaction, there's no way she'll be able to cover it all. So we were asking for an administrative assistant to be able to cover phones and the engagement piece of it, and we also didn't get
three people out the door.
Three people, right.
So that need won't be until the move occurs. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the need is we're managing now, but it will really become crucial once the move occurs.
You said
35
a year.
That's a good
question.
We can have the finance look into what the going rate is. Phil, I'm sorry,
yeah,
legislator.
Cool.
It's been
cool.
A long day.
Commissioner McDonald, we know that Westchester Medical Center is their license to provide certain mental health services. Their state license, the state seems not interested in enforcing that, but as recently as resolution number 529 last month, we passed to continue to send county funds over for services that we needed. Do you see any hope of getting the state to start paying for some of what this is, since they're not willing to go to bat for us in other ways?
So, in terms of the mental health services, they're bringing some of the beds back, so that's hopeful. And I know that they have a partial program. I'm sorry, I'm trying to go through all of the mental health services that they have. The issue is really on the substance use disorder end. And do I have hope that they're going to do anything with that? No. I have to say I was very disappointed in the state's response to forcing a WASAS with the Office of Addiction Services in getting them to at least even try and negotiate about alternative to the inpatient detox and inpatient rehab they were allowed to back away from the table, and because of that, I don't have a lot of hope. Because I don't know what kept them from being pushed to do something.
Thank you.
Sorry, I wish.
Legislator Petit?
One of, or the main problem that came up when we had the administrative person come to one of our health committee meetings from Westchester Health Alliance was it's not financially feasible for them to do anything here. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the Medicaid reimbursement. So perhaps we could talk about getting a letter up to the state to see if they would increase that, similar to what it is in Dutchess and Westchester County. But I think that's one of our big issues. It's all about the money. And even though they're a not-for-profit, you know, obviously they're making money because they can put $93 million into another building. And I don't know how much they put into the Kingston campus. They just keep bouncing back and forth. But it is a real issue. And it's a real loss to Ulster County to not have those facilities located here.
So that said, also, I think, you know, this is the first, this will complete the first year that you, that mental health has been its own distinct department. And so, you know, the idea was to get your footing and not jump too far too soon. But I think as soon as the new year comes in January, I would love for us to really sit down and map out how we re-envision mental health in the county, what it should really be looking like to get it to the place we want it to. Again, I feel like don't want to do too much while you're starting. I know you're hesitant to just, you know, take on a whole bunch. But, you know, just saying publicly and to Jay to mark it down that I think we need to really have a solid mental health conversation about what we, our vision is for the department, and then what we have to do to get there. And also who else should be at the table for those conversations. All right. So, Susan.
Good evening.
Good evening. So, similar questions, what you were hoping for that didn't happen, anything that has increased that we should know about, anything that's decreased that we should know about?
Well, you know, you and I and the group have had conversations about our wait list, which, you know, hasn't gone down, but is being tracked or solved a little bit quicker than it has been in the past. We have some things in the works that might help, two of which being dedicated aides that we wouldn't hire, but we would pay a company to just dedicate one person full-time to us. If we have at least two on the back burner, which is great. I just want the committee to realize how much this is going to cost to address the wait list. So I'm taking numbers now. 200 people. It's probably more than that on our priority A. We would be at least three case managers, at the cost of probably about $225,000. And to address all of those people on the wait list with all of the services that we would cost is a $1.9 million that we do not get from NYSOFA. So I'm sure the reason that we don't have three more case managers and all the costs that are involved in giving them our services is because it's going to cost almost $2 million. So on the budget, I had put a position called an evidence-based coordinator, whatever you want to call it, because we have these other funds that don't get completely spent, New York Connects being one of them. This position would have been completely funded by New York Connects. Not a penny of it would have come from the county, but the position was changed to a case manager. Again, one person, one case manager, and their caseload would cost the county about $450,000 to put all of the services that all of those people would need under that one case manager. So we don't get that kind of funding from NYSOFA. So I just want to make sure that the committee knows how much this is going to cost if we were ever to add my ideal staffing, which would be three case managers and my own aides, but, you know, I don't know if I'll get that or not. I would trade my own aides for agency aides and vice versa, but I did have this other position, and it was changed to a case manager, but we don't have the funding from NYSOPA for the services that those people would require or what they need. Okay? I just want to make sure that everybody
appreciate
realizes.
That. So just for the committee, I am putting in an amendment for one case manager and two home health aides for the Department of Aging, the two home health aides as county employees, and one case manager. It doesn't solve the problem,
but
it at least
some of it.
Steps, you know, gets to some of it. So I just wanted to let the committee know that that amendment is going in, because we've heard that enough times that this waiting list is there. The other thing is, Commissioner Smith, is the hope that one of the public health nurses would have some dedicated time to give to the Department of Aging. And if not, then we need to add, because what the other thing we heard was that you need some time from a nurse.
We had done. First of all, you do need to have what's called a CHA, Certified Home Health Agency license under DOH to provide that kind of a service. It was before my time, actually, but the Department of Health had basically retired its CHA 15 years ago, 12, 15. So in the past, the Departments of Health used to do work like that. But the trend over the past decade, as per New York State DOH, was that we are not in the business to provide that, and most of the jobs across the state that were held by local health departments were also retired at about the same time. So, you know, for us to do that kind of work, we would have to reapply for that. One of the reasons why it was retired before me was that a number of nurses who had worked in that kind of work to go into the home and do that kind of assistance, once that child was retired, well, then those nurses left as well. So that was a good percentage of our department at that time, but because there's no real reimbursement for that under Article 6, the state does not consider that our job. It's home health care. As Sue had, you know, run in the past, those agencies basically took over that work and took over that work for Ulster County at that time. So, you know, it's not something that we can just say one nurse is going to go in the home.
Right.
And do
can
that.
I just
it's
clarify?
Not that easy.
Just to be sure, because I could be getting the information wrong or not be clear. Sort of this was the need a nurse to go into the homes, or was this part of the kind of resources that would be available to aging to, if they had a question or a health-related question, if when you had described that sort of need, was it a clinical nurse as opposed to a public health? I mean, maybe those are not really the right distinction, but what was the need? Was it to go into the homes itself, or was it?
No, because, again, as Dr. Smith has described, we don't have a license, so if you hire your own aides who are considered at least level 2, if not home health aides, they have to keep their certification up, and they have to be trained every year, and they have to go through in-services. We can't offer that because we don't have a licensed agency in the county, because we've given up them what they call the medallion, right? For the CHA level, it all kind of goes down. My alternative roadmap is to approach these agencies and offer them the opportunity to dedicate aides to us, where they would keep their staff, they would train their staff, they would recertify their staff, and their staff only works for us. That person only works for us. So that helps, actually. That helps us. I would say if you were to add a position to our level, that one more homemaker level might help complete that level of care that we are constantly facing.
So there's not a need to access to a nurse. Okay, so
no,
I
and that was only because I would design it. But you know, then when I think about it, they still have to go to an outside agency for their certification and training.
That makes sense. For some reason, I envisioned it as you're kind of just like an attorney is available for them to reach out to, a nurse would be available for them to just reach out to.
It would be wonderful, but I know they're busy with their
well
stuff over there.
Yeah. Okay, anything else?
No, I would like to put in one plug for my evidence-based programming, and I may have mentioned this to you. Because it was completely funded through New York Connects and the county wouldn't have to pay for it, it's also a plan for a revenue-producing center in our department. And NYSOFA is willing to make that happen and has challenged all of the offices for aging throughout the state to come up with a plan to make a revenue center and will allow us to bill. So in our particular case, our caucus is designing a 5-county caucus to address some of the evidence-based program, be able to approach the insurance companies and say, we will try to address your chronically ill person who falls a lot and ends up in the ER to save you money if you pay us blah, blah, blah per member.
Sounds good.
So that's how that works.
And what's your timeline on that?
Now.
Months? I mean, like, when do you think you'll have that all?
So the state, actually, NYSOFA and the agency that works with them, I don't want to call them the lobbying agency, but the advocacy agency called the Aging Association of New York, is, as we speak, forming a separate 501c3 and getting the legalese in place to be able to form a billing and wealth redistribution center, so people would pay them and they would pay us. Does that make sense?
So
it's a really simplistic way.
Yeah, I guess I was just wondering when will you need something from the legislature to support the success of such a plan?
Well, they're not done with their part, but I wanted that position just to get it going in the county and start spreading it around. But it's not an urgent thing. I think the wait list is more urgent than anything else.
Okay.
As much as we can do with that.
Okay. Okay, for sure. Legislator Petit.
I did, but you just gave me some more information. I mean, they're always advertising, you know, age at home, keep your parents at home, keep the... And we actually have an older couple that they're moving into long-term nursing home care because their 50-year-old son who lives in Michigan just can't keep going back and forth. So are those programs, are they being a little disingenuous then with what they're
absolutely
able to...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, disingenuous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There are no aides.
There are no aides.
I mean, there are some, but there's certainly not enough to go around for the need that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only in home care, it's in nursing homes and hospitals, too. There are dearth of aides over all the levels, direct care support professionals in the OMRDD population. They don't have enough people. They're always everybody's advertising. There's signs everywhere. So if I have an opportunity to create a position or two or three, maybe if I'm lucky, maybe four, of dedicated aides from licensed agencies that we have contracts with already, this is part of their, we're just reforming the contract, I'm going to take it because I don't have any other way of doing this. So, yes, it is disingenuous, and I think it's almost false advertising, to be honest.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions for aging? All right, we'll move on to DSS. Rita?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
So the commissioner's not here, but we've been, I think when we did our budget, we really planned conservatively, but thinking ahead as much as possible. And we did, we are working with the county executive office. We did get some positions in there. We had one in our child support unit administrative, I want to say 8, could be wrong, could be an assistant, that was not put in there. Our child support unit brings in a lot of money and works with families that need to go to court to get support from the other parent. And due to the amount of referrals they get and the amount of court work they do, they really feel that this position would help support them administratively and keep things moving along for that. The other thing we're looking at is our housing and our adult population. It's reaching a crisis point, I feel personally. So we've been trying to work with our adult protective services caseworkers along with the emergency housing SWEs or social welfare examiners, and we're trying to partner with that. And we're looking at possibly, you know, needing another position so that they can support each other and maybe have a team. We've recently worked with Dutchess County to find out how they're operating, and we're getting some information from them because they have, their housing unit is in their adult protective services unit.
Do you know the name of that position?
It would be a caseworker.
Oh, a caseworker.
Looking for?
So, a child support unit aide and a caseworker?
It's administrative aide or assistant in child support. I don't remember what was initially put in it. And then we were talking about, you know, again, because of where we are with the housing issues and everything, started branching out after we put in our budget proposal, looking at this other caseworker to support the housing and the needs of the individuals.
Do you know how many people are kind of going unserved?
Offhand, I don't. I can get that.
If you can get that information, that would be helpful.
Thank you. How many new positions did you manage to get in? Because you did lose 40. And part of our audit, it noted that you had lost 40, and it felt, given the economic forecast for next year, you're going to need those people.
Yeah, so we were able to get a grade B supervisor for child protective services, a senior caseworker for child protective services, two caseworkers, one for child protective services and one for adult services. For that. And I want to say in social, we got a social welfare examiner.
So just five positions. That's
all you got. Six altogether.
Weren't some of them made up before from that original loss of 40? I feel like that original 40.
We got 12 last year.
Yeah.
In it, so it came down to 28 that we were still looking at. And then this year, we looked at it really conservatively, saying what is our needs and what's our greatest. We don't want to go and ask him for tons of them.
Right.
So we just focused on the spots that we really needed this year.
That's only 18. So
right. Just more that it wasn't out of 45. It was
out of 28.
Down
20.
Still not in
last year.
Not, but yeah.
And there'll be 28 and another 6 or 7 out of that 28.
All right. Any other questions for DSS? Okay. Veterans.
Yes. So we received pretty much everything we asked for in our budget. I had minimal gains in a lot of the different line items. So the two that are significant that you'd want to know about, the first is the part-time pay budget, and that just went up by $22,000. That's because we were rolling with a vacant part-time driver for the last couple of years. We're able to fill it this year, and we're going to have that going next year. And that person's a CDL trained, so it's a higher pay grade as well, so they can drive our bus. And then the other thing is the under miscellaneous contractual expenses, you'll see that it went from $12,000 to $37,000. And the $37,000, when you break it down, the $12,000 is the stuff we've always had. It's physicals, small contracts, and then things we've utilized for events, community engagements, ways to connect with the community. The $25,000 is what's new, and that's for us to contract with the Hudson Valley Center for Veterans Reintegration. So because they are who we consider our community partner in everything we do with veterans, and as we kind of get out there more in the county and really interact more with all the different towns, more veterans are coming to us, and we're referring more people to the center. Now, what the center does is what you probably are all aware of is the vet-to-vet program, right? That's paid for by the state through the Dwyer grant that comes through Office of Mental Health. That is their number one program, but they have a plethora of other programs that they do, stuff like kayak building, group therapies, walks, different things that they do as an organization that we send veterans there to get involved with because it's therapeutic for them, and it's another way for them to really kind of get them involved, get them interacting with other veterans, and get their mind in a better place. And it's not the kinds of things that we can do as a county office.
So the $25,000 is covering a person who's helping make those connections?
It's it's not a person. It's their programs. So it's to contract with them for their programs.
Oh, for their programs. Got it.
Yeah. It's with them so that they keep doing all the programs that we're able to send veterans.
Questions for veterans? All right, Department of Health.
Okay, we had asked for six positions, and we got clearance for three. The remaining three, one's another supervising public health nurse, pre-COVID we had
four of them, plus a director of patient services, plus an assistant director of patient services. During the COVID, most of them left. And a lot of the work had fallen on our new director of patient services. So she doesn't have a deputy director of patient services. She has one supervising health nurse, whereas we had four prior to COVID. And I think, you know, adding that additional supervising public health nurse is important because there were certain programs that we did operate which are required of us under Article 6. And Article 6 is the portion of public health law that provides for reimbursement for the provision of certain services to the county by the local health department. The addition to that Article 6 reimbursement funding was that after 10 years of fighting for it, the base grant for a full service department such as ours, which has patient services and environmental, was raised from $650,000 to $750,000 for Article 6 reimbursable work. Plus, we get 36% of the salary on top of that, as well as a percentage of the fringe, which had never existed before. So the state legislature approved an increase in that Article 6 reimbursement for Article 6 reimbursable activities, and it's very prescriptive what that includes. And because of COVID over the last 3 years and the dedication we put into that whole pandemic, some of those Article 6 reimbursable obligations were really kind of put on a back burner. It was understood by the state that we worked to the max with the pandemic, so some of that does have to be reinstituted. Maternal health, maternal infant services, and not necessarily in services in direct care, but educational, assessing the status of the infant, the newborn, et cetera, make sure the mom understands what she needs to do, et cetera, to raise a healthy child, that sort of thing. As well as our sexually transmitted disease clinic, we're just slowly trying to reopen that to provide for that kind of diagnosis and treatment because we are a certified D&T local health department, so someone could come to us with a sexually transmitted disease. They don't have to, you know, we do ask about insurance, but they don't have to give it to us, et cetera, for assessment and treatment. We do have absolutely escalating number across the state of gonorrhea and syphilis and all of those bad sexually transmitted diseases that, you know, certainly did not go away during COVID. We do certain work that we're already able to do, but with what we have, but if we are really to ramp up what we were pre-COVID, and pre the loss of the nurses, that an additional supervising health nurse would be very helpful.
And then the other two positions?
And the other two are basically a receptionist. We don't have someone to manage the folks that do come to us with their applications for permits to operate a restaurant, or the engineers that come in with their plans, and the phone calls that do come to us, et cetera. So we have current staff that's trying to manage that piece of it. And a records clerk. We service under FOIL law anywhere from 200 to 300 FOIL requests per year. Plus we have records that basically contain everything, septic, wells, that you know, we have plans for, that we've approved, all the applications and records for the restaurants that we approved. We did manage to create over the past decade internally a database to try to capture these things, but we still need to manage the paper that goes behind all of that. And we don't have a designated person to do that right now. My secretary, Katrina, works as a FOIL compliance officer as well as my secretary, and she also oversees the everything else administratively.
Did you have a records clerk and lost it, or?
We did. We actually had a position, and her title was records clerk, And that was Samantha Carney, who left to take a position over at Sheriff's. But, yes, we did have that, and that was lost.
But then the line was taken out when the person was out.
Yeah.
Questions for DOH? All right. Well, thank you all. That shows several deficits, so I would say. Oh, you have a question?
Not for DOH. Do we receive communication from any other departments under our purview, such as the Youth Board?
Well, Youth Board has been invited several times and was told that this was going to be what this conversation was about, but she hasn't come, and so unfortunately can't hunt her down. So if she wants to have this kind of conversation, she has to be here.
Okay.
We would like to. And so what I would say is, you know, given these deficits and your all personal interests, you know, I think that whether there's any desire to put in budget amendments, you know, we should have some kind of coordination, if that's an interest of members on this committee, to address some of these issues. Just keep in mind that what we have the benefit of is all of the background explaining why these amendments might be relevant, so it makes sense that it would come from one of us. And so we can, you know, you can explore it. The deadline for amendments is the 16th or some number that starts with one.
I think it's the 10th.
I knew there was a 1.
Yeah, it's going to be 12.
So, you know, I think keep that in mind. If you want to just let me know individually if there's a particular amendment that you would like to sponsor, so that we just coordinate, and, you know, if there's more than one person, then they'll co-sponsor them. But just keep that in mind.
And Chair Walters, I'm going to leave. I'm getting worse.
Yes, it looks like
I was stung by a bee, and it was getting better, but having worked all day.
Yeah, and are you okay to drive?
Yes, yeah, I think I am, but I think if I stay longer, then I might not be.
Are you going to the doctor right now? Are you going to go to the hospital?
I don't know.
Dr. Smith? No,
it's just... I have Benadryl, and so I could take Benadryl and then lie down, but I can't take Benadryl and then drive home.
Right.
So,
but you are sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you, though.
I'm happy to, like, drive you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry that I stayed to a point where you'd be worried about me. But for me, this is still okay. But when I start to see not okay, then I should leave.
Will you text Jay when you're home so we know?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good night, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you all.
Feel better.
Tincture of Time, T-I-M-E.
Okay, so let's move on with our resolutions. Vice Chair?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, did you do the minutes and everything already?
We did.
Okay, very good. We'll get along with the resolution. Was 200?
Yep.
Setting a proposed local number 7, a local amending the code of County of Ulster in relation to evictions. I move for discussion.
I'll move it.
Move.
Second. Legislation.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. Shortly after our last meeting, I asked our attorney to draft a letter to the Board of Ethics to ask them to consider, with the recent changes to the ethics law and the recent changes to the ethics board, and at this time we've not heard a response back. I don't know if they've discussed it. I did some research today to try and find that out, and I was not able to conclude if they've even discussed it yet. So that is where we're at, and for that reason I would request a postponement tonight.
Hi, thank you, Deputy Chair. I saw that the Ethics Board had a meeting scheduled sometime around now. Do we know when
that... We've not been able to find out. It happened already
last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't know. There isn't, that we're aware of, there was not an agenda that we seen, unless someone from the county executive's team knows the answer to that. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion?
No, from the Board of Ethics. Yeah.
Okay.
So I move to postpone 200.
I'll second that.
Do you want to postpone it, or do you just want to take no
action? Oh, we can take no action, so I withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw the second.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And for the request of the sponsor, we will take no action. And I'll turn it back over to the chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Lopez. So Resolution 509, setting a public hearing on Local Law Number 11 for the Fire Prevention Building Code. Motion to discuss. Legislator Petit, second. Legislator Uchitel, discussion.
So I'll just say in conversation with the safety office, the county safety office, and they have submitted an updated version from the version that they submitted last month. So there are amendments here that we're going to make in a second. And there were also some changes. Legislator Corcoran had some good suggestions. We went back and forth, and we're going to incorporate one of them, which was around basically, just for background, this is a code, basically a building code that would be triggered if a lower municipality ever didn't have a building inspector. So this code will apply to our buildings, which we maintain because we are not subject to their inspections, but it would also come into play if ever they did not have a building inspector and they abdicated that responsibility, which none of the municipalities, you know, isn't a situation that we anticipate. It's not a current situation. But just in case, we did want to make sure that the code would make sense, that they weren't opening up any gaps that would leave a window when they were getting that sorted out where things would get approved that we didn't want there to be, you know, no oversight over. So the one that Legislator Corcoran mentioned in our conversation was around structures that should be inspected.
So we have the exact wording of this proposed amendment to the amendment.
So it's just a strike.
Yeah, it's so the version that's in the packet right now includes the amendments from the safety office, from the county safety office, and it includes the amendment that from.
Oh, okay.
That
it's
we
not
discussed
a new
here.
Amendment.
It's not a new amendment, but we will be adopting the version as amended tonight, or we'll be advancing it. It's also going to be in the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee, which is why I've been so involved.
No, that's fine. I just thought it sounded like there was another amendment just coming up. Okay.
Nope, that amendment's in there because we figured it out ahead of time and we emailed it over to them on Monday.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor as amended?
Aye. Aye.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No, I just wanted to...
Draw that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we have Resolution 539, approving the execution of a contract for $75,000 with Family of Woodstock for food security. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Second Petit. Any discussion? Legislator...
Yes, thank you. I had seen some of Legislator Petit's questions, and can we just hash out more about, is this, like Legislator Petit had recommended just direct, so like some direct funding as opposed to like a, what you could call a consulting or coordinating role, and I would support that idea if that is where... Like, we're able to do that, basically. So I'm just wondering.
Legislator Petit, do you want to?
I did speak with, and I haven't spoken to anybody at Family Woodstock, but I did speak with Legislator Criswell, who said this is, and I've worked with the group for the Food Insecurity Collaborative. It includes Rondout Valley Growers, Ulster Corps, and Family of Woodstock. Ulster Corps, they work, and they work very hard, and they have a small workforce. They also don't have the means to do paperwork or whatever, so it's funneled through money. I guess I'm a little more comfortable knowing that it would be for someone to coordinate all of these moving parts, and there are many, because each hub that they have as far as the food insecurity program that I'm aware of, they have 6 or 7 churches come in. So, you know, which means out of the 5, they've got now 35 plus the gleaning and working with the food hub. so I'm a little more comfortable with it. Would I like to see all of it go towards food? Yes. You know, especially since we're fighting right now to get turkeys and service, just the two pantries in Esopus, who need 150 dinners right now. I'm not as concerned with this as I was.
Was it correct then that just the only thing that doesn't go is just the coordination of making sure things go? Is that, does that sound like a...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Any other questions?
I'm not gonna be difficult about this and hold it up, but I don't see in this contract the updates that would be required from the procurement manual changes that we made regarding the personnel that are going to be fulfilling this contract. I don't see their salaries in here. Again, we don't have to have the names of the personnel that are in here, but we need to know what types of roles in the organization that we're contracting with are going to be dedicated to this, and we need to know what salaries those roles are paid so that we know that the county workforce, whether it's contract or in-house, is being paid a living wage.
So since this is Department of Finance, and so no one's here, maybe Ways and Means we could make sure.
Yeah, we could talk about it again there, but I wanted to bring it up. I will bring it up every time I see a contract that doesn't have it.
Yeah, and maybe even if that information can go to the executive's office now, that by Ways and Means, right, that information could be added. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, all in favor of Resolution 539?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 541, confirming an appointment of a member to the Ulster County Board of Health.
Move for discussion. 571?
571, yep. A move. You should tell. Second. Erner, any discussion? All in favor of 571?
Aye.
Aye.
572, approving the execution of a contract for $62,500 to the county for legal services for Department of Aging. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I do. I wasn't aware that this was available. I'm sorry, and I think it's really cool. So just through the chair to the director, do we just refer people to your office?
Absolutely. Okay. Let me give you just a elevator speech about that. We've had a lawyer embedded in our office for years and years and years. It's one of the original parts of the Older Americans Act. It's actually a federally funded position through Title 3B, I think, if I'm not mistaken there. We have a wonderful lawyer who's well-versed in elder law. She mostly does wills, powers of attorney, and advises people on their healthcare proxies, even though you don't need a lawyer to fill that out, or you don't need a lawyer to do a MOLT form. But it helps to have some guidance. She can also give advice on most everything, but she does not litigate and she does not go to court. So people are calling us, and we've had a lot of questions about landlord issues and things like that. Uh-huh. We refer those to Hudson Valley Legal Services because she does not handle that. But she's great. She's in there twice a week. It's much, much cheaper than a regular lawyer. If they can't afford it, they don't pay, but we do ask for a donation.
Okay. And that's face-to-face? Or
yes.
You know,
yeah, I think the first, especially with the will, she'll talk to them about the types of things that she's looking for, maybe documentation, same thing with power of attorney. Then she might draft something up, and then they will have a couple of face-to-faces.
So, Legislator Petit, I don't know if you might have missed the meeting we had where we got a full presentation of everything they do. There's a really wonderful trifold that they have that has all of the, I was shocked in all the services that they actually have. But so find their trifold because it has everything.
I get a lot of requests for help, but I prefer to. You know,
I think I actually
really
sent some over, right? I sent some to the Ledge at some point, a little smattering of all of our flyers, and I can always send you anything you need as far as something electronically.
Okay. Legislator Erner?
Thank you. Following up on that, you said when folks come seeking eviction or landlord-tenant services, you refer them to Hudson Valley Legal Services. I know some folks who are having trouble with Hudson Valley Legal Services capacity, but that's because they need a lawyer to go to court. Yeah. Could your office potentially at least provide advice on the topic, even if they can't represent them?
She can provide advice, but she will not go to court for them. That's just not her role. Absolutely, if advice on almost anything, including Medicaid applications, which we would then, if somebody was, if we discovered they were eligible for Medicaid, we would then refer them to DSS because they're right down the hallway. But yes, advice, yes.
Okay.
Court stuff, no.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank sure,
you.
No problem.
All right. All in favor of Resolution 572?
Aye.
All right. I'm going to suggest we block Resolution 573, 575, and 576. These are all pass-through for mental health for programs that are not new, that we've done in the past. Anyone have a concern with blocking 573, 575, and 576?
I make a motion to block.
Second?
Second.
All in favor of the block?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor of the resolutions?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Next, we have Resolution 574, approving a contract for 390 entered into the county for access, supportive living, Department of Mental Health. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second is Ushatel. Discussion?
Supporting documentation mentioned monthly reports that would be available. Have we received any monthly reports to date for the existing service since this is an expansion?
So this is for the 911 clinic.
Yeah.
We do get reports for that.
We have been for the last year.
Is that something that we could see as well?
Sure.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and if any kind of breakdown, because there's several different, since Access is doing different locations in different places, like where they're serving, how many people, and the different locations, whatever kind of detail, that'd be great. Any other questions? All in favor of Resolution 574?
Aye.
Okay. Did we put 75? We did 76. Resolution 577, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept allocation of rental assistance funds from New York State's Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance with Department of Social Services. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Second. Erner, any discussion? All in favor of 577?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. 578, approving the execution of a contract for 494-918 with Catholic Charities, Department of Social Services. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second. You should tell. Discussion? So, is this a new expanded contract?
So it'll be an additional expanded contract to cover the money we're getting through 577. So they'll be providing those services.
Great.
For us.
Yes.
The contracts are they provide services regardless of any status. But some sort of residential status, or can somebody just? Because I keep hearing these stories about people getting off the bus.
Every county got a portion of this money, so it would be Ulster County residents.
Okay.
That will be able to access the services. Okay. And
so they
see
just need to show proof of an address.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? All right. All in favor of 578?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Moved. Resolution 579, amending the 2022 county budget to accept an allocation of Child Abuse or Neglect Prevention Act, CAPTA, Addiction and Recovery Act, CARA funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services. Motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? This is, again, a 100% federal pass-through. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Resolution 580, approving the execution of a contract for $70,000 for Berkshire Farm Center service for the youth. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Second. Pete, any discussion?
Yes.
Is this foster care?
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, legislator. Order.
Thank you. Have we received the assessments, or what are the assessments telling us?
Yes, so the assessments are, they go to family court for family court approval. They're for children that are going to residential placement, congregate care, and the qualified independent assessor uses the CANs, and the reports are confidential and discussed at family court, and the family court will either approve it or not approve it. But they're required for every child going into congregate care for that. just started under the Family First Preservation money for federal laws that came through. So we just started last September.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. All in favor of 580?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Interested in taking a motion of blocking 581 through 589, 593, and 594. These are all DSS continued funds.
Move to block 589 to
581
to 589,
593
and 594.
Second, do you want to take a moment and look at that in case anyone wants to speak on any individual ones?
Sorry, one more time.
581 to 89,
okay.
93 and 94.
Okay.
And they're all nothing new.
Second.
Okay.
I do have things I want to address. Can we still do that in the block? Okay.
Can you pull 593 out and just block the rest?
Is that the one you want?
With that?
593?
I have several to talk about.
Are you planning to not vote for any of them?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay, so then tell us which ones you want to take out of the block.
Okay. Starting with 581. 581, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. And 93 was the other one? Okay. I have questions on all of those.
Okay, so, but you do not, okay, so you, not 82, not 88, 89, and not 94?
82, 88, 89.
All right.
And 94, yeah, and 94 also have questions.
We'll just run through them.
Yeah, we're not going to block them, obviously.
We'll be fast.
We'll see. So, motion first is 581, approving the execution of contract with Bonadito and Company for Department of Social Services. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Second, discussion. Legislator Erner.
Okay. So, thank you. Is this a county responsibility that we have to do this fraud, or is this something we're opting into? Is it state law that we have to have this bureau?
So under the Office of the Comptroller and Medicaid Inspector General, we're required, because we get so much in back in Medicaid reimbursement, to make sure that our records are, we have a corporate compliance plan, and this is part of the corporate compliance plan. They come in every 6 months, pull our records, does a review to make sure that we're meeting the mandates of Medicaid, and then reports back to our corporate compliance committee here at County.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor of 581?
Aye.
All right. Resolution 582, amending the 2022 budget to accept an allocation of funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second. Estelle, discussion? Nothing? Okay. All in favor of Resolution 582?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Resolution 583, approving the execution of a contract for 139,784,787 with Family of Woodstock with Department of Social Services. Motion to discuss. Petite, second. Corcoran, discussion. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Who sees these inspection results, and could we inspect it ourselves for less?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Who sees the inspection results from the child care facilities?
Well, the Children and Family Services, the child care division.
The state?
The state does.
And so, but we're contracting this with Family. Is there somebody within the county workforce who could do this, do it for less, that you're aware of?
Not that I know of. Family Woodstock has been doing this historically for years for it through their child care resource center there. So at this point, there would be nobody that we could identify at DSS.
Just if I could add on to that, they have been doing it for a long time, and I think included with that, there's also classes. So 20 years ago, when I was thinking about opening up a daycare, I went in and got more information, and they had people that would help with insurance and everything. I do get your point, though. It's I think in total, because I was adding this up, there's 5 million that we're putting into one organization, and I'm almost thinking about sustainability at this point. If the county pulled out all of the funding that we're providing, could this organization even function anymore?
Or, well, you could go the other way. If the organization stopped functioning, could the county survive?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think
but
it's a mutually...
But we could create some long-term jobs with benefits and retirement.
Right. Well, maybe we should hire Michael Berg and just bring everybody along
into
the county.
Yeah, I was thinking, why don't we just absorb Family of Woodstock right into our stars?
You may not mind. They'd get paid more.
The money for this piece of it is 0% county share. It's all state funded.
Okay, any other questions on this? All in favor of Resolution
583? Aye.
Why do I smell food?
You're hungry.
Really hungry.
I smell too.
All right. Whoever's making chicken, stop. Resolution number 584, approving contract for $333,448 with Family of Woodstock for the Washburn House DV victims. Motion to discuss. Second, Erner, discussion. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. What is the capacity at the Washburn House?
So they have, it'd be like the number of, it'd be 17 individuals, children, women, that's it. They haven't been able to expand for it, so that's the part of the DV system for that.
Okay.
Thanks. Any other questions? All right, all in favor of Resolution 584?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. 585, approving a contract for $273,28 with Family of Woodstock. This is emergency assistance in Kingston, Ellenville, Woodstock, and New Paltz. Motion to discuss. Second. Petit. Discussion. Erner.
Thank you. And I highly value this service that Family provides us. And I also know that since COVID, we expanded 24-hour services that the county provides through that phone number. Is that phone number something that could serve this, or are we pretty happy with the way Family's been doing it?
Are you talking about our 211-311?
The 443-888 number?
That's
the constituent service. Right. Well, it was originally going to be 211-311, but I think it's now 488. Were you going to speak to them?
Yeah, I think it would be a very different skill set that the operators for the what was original with the constituent service number to call. And I will also note, because you can't talk about this topic without mentioning it, the number we're talking about with Family Woodstock is the oldest continually operated hotline in the country, maybe the world.
Wow.
We should definitely hire my convert.
Well, right. And it's interesting.
Also, one of the differences is if you have an adult at the police station in New Paltz, they may have the family worker may be able to hook them up with getting a place to stay overnight or getting whatever supplies they may need at that time. So it's not just a call-in center or resources to call. They actually have, that's part of their contract, is to provide those services.
I will say the amount doubled from last year. I assume that's because the need has doubled?
Yes. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, all in favor of 5. Oh, do you have a question? Or?
Well, just going back, because we still need a sustainable wage for some of our contracted vendors. So are they doubling their staff as well at 15 an hour, or is it? Are they looking more at emergency housing costs?
That I don't know. I'd have to check into that for you.
Because that would be nice to have. They've traditionally been the hardest ones to get that information from, to see, how many workers there are and what they're actually getting paid. And it would help if when we bring that resolution up again so that we could attach a financial impact
to it. I feel like
it.
Last year, for everything that went through us, he provided detail on all of the people who he raised to the 50, because that was through all last year.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember everything that we passed last year because we insisted that he break it down because he was asking for more because of that salary increase. And so, because this is every year, my guess is it's sitting there, but certainly can see if we can find more.
Thank you.
But it has been a whole year, right, since that resolution passed for the 15th?
Since the resolution, yes, for the social
right.
services,
so I think we've been through a whole year of these. Okay. All in favor of Resolution 585?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, 586, approving an execution of a contract for $162,600, Department of Social Services is a family house shelter for runaway and homeless youth. Motion to discuss. You should tell second earner, discussion, and legislator earner.
Just the same question as before about the capacity at Family House right now.
So they have 14 beds. Sometimes they're full because they have 14 youth. They take Ulster County youth. But most of the time, I'm calling Thursday at 5, do you have something available? And they try and squeeze in where they can. They are, depending on how they come in, if it's just a youth in the community, they have X number of days they can stay. If they're youth from that are referred through social services, there's a 21-day time frame that we can have, because they can't, it's state considers almost like a respite, so it can't be longer than that. But we do have children that are there for a couple of months in the community.
Thank you.
Legislator Petit.
Who provides the clothing and food? We've worked with programs where we bring clothing and food to them, and there seems to be a real need.
That's part of this contract for us.
Is it?
Yeah. If they were open services case, say in children's services, we could probably provide some of the clothing for them. Meals and food are all part of that shelter expense for it. Family Woodstock provides clothing for children, but we will work with them to get the clothing for the kids.
Okay, real clothing, not like, sweatpants, a sweat outfit.
It depends on what the kids want.
That's
what we go with. I mean, a lot of our teenage boys just want sweatpants. The girls want different stuff, so yeah, but we try and meet their needs.
All right, anything else? All right, all in favor of Resolution 586?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. 587, approving a contract for $1,938,508 with Family of Woodstock. This is for operating the Darmstadt and Family in homeless shelters. Motion to discuss. Corcoran, second earner. Discussion. Legislator Earner.
Thank you. So which of these is, I see the 90 days provision in the description. Is one of them they have to leave after 90 days, the other one is not necessarily, because I have that's in my district. I have people who are registered to vote at these addresses.
That I would have to find out what the requirements are for each one, because they're separate. So I'd have to find that out for you.
Thank you.
Any other? All right. All in favor of Resolution 587?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 588, approving a contract for $73,511 with Family of Woodstock. This is for domestic violence program. Motion to discuss. You should tell second. Corcoran, discussion, Earner. Okay. All in favor of Resolution 588?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. 589, approving and execution of contract for 590 with the Family Services Incorporated with Department of Social Services Family Education Program. Motion to discuss. Michelle, second Petit. Discussion? No? All in favor, Resolution 589?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 590, rescinding Resolution 488 of 2022, approving the execution of a contract for $86,000 with Liberty Resources, Department of Social Services. A motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion.
Petit, second. Corcoran, discussion?
Yeah, and this service provides, what does this service provide?
So it's part of our coordinated children's services, and they provide therapeutic casework with families and children, usually ages 10 to young teenagers for that. They're at risk for placement into foster care or hopefully not to be in our system, so we're trying to work with them
So where do you have educators go in? That was another one.
Liberty provide, yeah. So it's they called MST or multi-systematic treatment.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, we work with them in the home and not also at the office.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. All in favor of Resolution 590?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Resolution 591, approving a contract of an execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 with the Rolling V Bus Corps. Motion to discuss. Petit, second. Corcoran, any discussion? All in favor of Resolution 591?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 592, approving execution of contact for 150 with Ulster County Community Action. Motion to discuss. Corcoran, second. Erner, discussion. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So, community action, fantastic. Who else, and what kind of coordination is there with who else does this? Like, I know.
I'm sorry.
What kind of coordination do we have, if any, with others doing this around the county? For example, in City Kingston, where I represent, you have some of this. We have one in City Kingston, of course, and then, but there's also the Kingston Emergency Food Collaborative does food relief and also sometimes brings some of these items around beyond the four walls on Van Buren Street. Does a lot of this as like a walk-in, you know, thrift store and stuff.
So this started because we were having families that were outside of, this is how it started, outside of Ulster County, and we were trying to service our Ulster County families without burdening the other counties. And it's not just food, it's going and finding out how's it going, what do they need, do they need connection to TA, do they need transportation, lots of different things, and that's how that started. And then we realized even within Ulster County, our families needed a contact point in their emergency shelters to work with them and bridge those gaps for that. So we actually also worked with other agencies. A lot of our clients receive food from a variety of different people, and sometimes that's an issue we have to work with, and Community Action will help organize that as well, because they sometimes get more food than what's needed or what they can support in their group.
I'm on the Community Action Board, and they are a great organization, but they also need real strict directives, and I would like to see in here language. I did clearly see outside of Ulster County, and understand we have people in Green and Sullivan, but I would like it to be ensured that Ulster County money is just going to Ulster County placements.
So I believe part of the contract for this, in the page, in the recital one, it talks about Ulster County.
It does say Ulster County.
Ulster County residents. And I will, give me a second, and I will double check.
I looked at the attachment A.
Yes.
And I still
don't. Under the recital, it says whereas, under the first one, agreement to support services to Ulster County residents who are placed in temporary housing in a variety of motels and hotels. Do you want more specific?
Just like a little bit more, yeah, because
Legislator Petit, is it, so on Schedule A, it does say engage in-person clients placed within Ulster County once a month and approximately two times per week in locations outside of Ulster County. But I assume that means that sometimes our people have to be placed outside Ulster County.
Outside
it's not
County.
Placing outside.
I think the Rainbow Motel in Green County.
Right, yeah. As opposed to, so we're not housing non-Ulster County.
And they also do, not an inspection, but if they're alarmed at the conditions, like they'll also notify DSS. But sometimes they tend to go beyond, which cuts into our budget for sure. And I just want to make sure it's not going to cut into Ulster County.
I'll make note of that.
Thank you.
Right. Any other questions? All in favor of Resolution 592?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 593, approving an execution of contract for $525,780 with Youth Advocate Programs. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second, so Petit, second Corcoran. Discussion, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So this measure has some meetings that are happening. I'm sorry. Didn't understand my own notes. are we meeting the objectives of this program? How do we know?
Yes. So they supply an annual report to us, plus we have quarterly meetings with them as administrators, and then the caseworkers and the actual youth advocate coordinator meet monthly to discuss the progress or the lack of progress being made by these youth and what their goals are. They set individual goals based on the youth needs. And that gets put into the case record for the
heard that way.
Any other questions? All right, I'll take that back. All in favor of Resolution 593?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 594, approving execution of contract for 550,000 chickens entered into the county for YWCA. Motion. Legislator Petit, second. Legislator Corcoran, any discussion? Legislator Erna.
Thank you. All right. Same question as the last resolution.
So these are crisis short-term 4 to 8 weeks of services that the case manager will work with the family day in and day out, basically 24/7. And again, they submit monthly updates to us, and then we have meetings monthly to discuss, again, where the case is going. They're part of the case plan with the preventive caseworker or the CPS caseworker or even the foster care caseworker. And again, hopefully it's to not have them come into foster care. When they work with the foster care families, it's to keep them ready for a trial discharge, and it's to keep that trial discharge at home so they don't re-enter. So again, it's a lot of reporting, daily phone calls, and it's based on the goals of the family.
Deputy Wood, thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor of Resolution 594?
Aye.
Any updates from the working groups? I think there's just one of you represented here.
I can
go ahead, and Legislator Lopez.
We're going to meet on Wednesday, and we're currently working on it's an intermunicipality proposal partnering with the county and towns to improve and update the site. So currently working on the details, and I'm going to bring it to the committee or to the working group to get their input, and I've been in discussions with council as well, just to know what our legal authorities are. So that's what I've done.
Wonderful, thank you. Okay.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes, go ahead.
Craig, are you, or Legislator Lopez, are you, have you spoken with Kai Lord Farmer from the Planning Department about what you're working on there?
I have not, and that's, yeah, I would like to reach out to him, and he'll be part of the discussion hopefully on Wednesday, so
great.
Maybe he can join get his ideas about what we want to do off him as well.
Yeah, because they're working on a parallel track. I think it'll work really well.
Okay, cool.
All right. Your
committee? We had a really good conversation again last week, I guess it was, or 2 weeks ago, whatever.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And we have at least one budget amendment that will be coming forward. And No, it's not a secret. It's actually something I reached out to my colleague, Legislator Corcoran, to collaborate on. It is a landlord assistance program that would ensure landlords can fix up their properties and rents can be kept affordable in exchange.
Great. Maybe we can also talk about a related thing of funding for homeowners for lead abatement, because right now there's no mechanism for assisting lead abatement, and it's kind of related because I would assume especially these homes that have individuals who are low income are more of the houses that need the lead abatement.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, like, a landlord would, under this program, a landlord would absolutely be able to use the funds to do the lead abatement. It wouldn't obviously apply to primary residences because obviously only half of the equation is there.
Oh, that's true. So I might want to keep the lead abatement thing separate so it's also for people just for their own homes to be able to do that. Okay.
Don't we get state pass-throughs for lead abatement?
We get state pass-throughs to train people to do lead abatement. We don't actually ever have the money to do it.
That's right.
Like in the last 3 years, that's been coming up, is that we keep training people, but then no one's doing it because they can't, we never put money aside. So I'm going to put in an amendment for some money, some kind of plan so that homeowners can somehow seek, county money for, specifically towards lead abatement. Are you on the other committee? The working group?
It was Kathy.
It was Kathy. I didn't know if you happened to sit on them. Also. Okay.
Our next meeting.
I try to go, but if there's too many of us, I get booted off. Otherwise, we've got a quorum.
I think it's just Kathy. But anyway, did you want to add something?
Our next meeting is Thursday the 17th at 5:15.
Cool. Oh,
is that a Zoom?
Right.
Yeah.
A motion.
I have some other business. Some other old business. Quick question.
Okay. Other business? First. Legislator Erner.
Yeah, what's the latest on Elizabeth Manor and Route 28?
Okay, that's a very broad question. Your specific question is, so those are two separate things, I assume.
Yeah.
So you want to know updates on the development of the building of Elizabeth Manor, because I know it's in the capital programs.
Okay.
So I assume it's, you know, there's details in the capital program for their completion, but we could certainly ask the executive. I don't think anyone's here who specifically.
I don't currently have the update, although I've been involved in the discussion. I'm more than happy to follow up with you tomorrow.
Can you be more specific? 28,
the old motel.
The Quality Inn?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's an update on that as well.
Okay.
On where that is.
Okay. Great. Sorry that, you know, we have to respect that the executive's team is basically skeleton right now, and so.
Understood.
And in the middle of the budget, so it's a challenge. We appreciate you, Dave.
Laura did a great job.
I'm sure.
It's actually probably better.
You might be more efficient than we've ever had. Any other business?
One last thing.
You're going to buy us all dinner?
That wouldn't be business for this committee.
Oh, okay.
That'd be for the other committee.
Okay. Go ahead, legislator.
Does the chair have any updates about the real property disposition?
Yes. I mean, only that for similar reasons that I just described, we had an initial meeting. It was really helpful. I would say Amanda Levout, they really mapped out the complicated nature of the whole process from getting even a property or a house, even up to the judges, for the judge to make a decision, and then from there, disseminate. And that process, like actually breaking down that whole process, was so useful. And so when we looked at that, we identified like where the different areas that policy is not clear that needs to be, and it left a few questions. So basically what it came to is whatever we asked, they were going to need at least 2 weeks to come back to. So we tried scheduling 2 weeks, but then with the budget and everything else. So I think we have a meeting coming up I'm going to have to check when that next meeting is. I've been trying to get Lori to get us a meeting right away because it's been more than 2 weeks. But, you know, Bert had to provide a lot of information that we were missing at that meeting. So he's kind of simultaneously dealing with the budget and getting us that information. So, unfortunately, because we came in on this right on the budget's coattails, that has delayed it. But I will let you know when the next meeting is. As soon as I know, I do have to double check with Lori. She's trying to also manage 12 different people to come to that meeting, and so it becomes a bigger challenge. I'm hoping that at this meeting we'll have enough stuff that maybe there'll be no more than 2 more meetings before we'll actually have something. But on that note, I will say that from this, from capital programs, when we went through it with the two different committees to the 2023 plan, there is at least 3 or more housing-related policies we're going to have to write, where there's no policy in place. Like, how do we decide which developers to support and what we would expect from them? How do we decide? So, you know, I think in the new year, we'll keep moving on this, but in the new year, in addition to what should mental health look like, I think we really, and your working groups will hopefully be kind of closed, that we get a breakdown and create some serious policies that don't exist right now. So I would set that for our 2023 goal of getting some policies written.
So this meeting that is to be scheduled, is that the time to bring our own questions, comments?
For the foreclosure? What I would suggest from what it was is so much of it was understanding what exists now that I would say let us get it to a place where we actually have on paper what's really happening so that you can actually ask questions, because it seems like it may be cart before the horse without actually getting what the current system is. And it was far more complicated than we thought it was, because I assure you, you'll probably have more questions than you think you would once you see that whole model. And so you can get them sooner, but I would also say that after that meeting, we're not going to decide on a final policy at that point. And I have the feeling that some of the suggestions that you have, and I think you've suggested some, they may end up being separate policies than just the, you know, because this is foreclosure. What do we do when they have the land, and how do we decide where to put it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we need the land trust or a land
right, but in, and that's on there. It's like, when do you give it to the land trust as well?
I mean, giving millions of dollars to a billionaire developer is just outside of what I could agree to. And yet I know we need the housing. So, you know, should we just be able to sell it or at least a not-for-profit?
Right. So this part is just sort of like, how do you decide when it should go to the land trust, when it should go to a not-for-profit, when should the county keep it, when, and as well as how do we make sure that the person who already owned it has first dibs and can continue to. But then it's, okay, well, say we decide it should go to the nonprofit. There's a whole other set of policies over, like, how do we decide which developers are, you know, what kind of developments are the ones we want to support, you know. And so I think each of this policy sort of then has a branch off of several other sub-policies that we're going to want to work on that, you know, from my reading of your questions, might not be on this policy, but once this is clean, it would be like, and there, after this happens, now see policy number whatever, because we want each of those very well articulated.
And that's honestly what I would have rather have seen as a master housing plan for Ulster County. The executives' two studies that came out were pretty much designed to go a different way and for specific reasons, like the second one, which is the sustainable housing. That was so we could get more climate smart funding and kind of initiate, you know, that end of it. But a master comprehensive plan would have told you where we need the housing, where we need the low income housing, where we could set aside housing units for a developer to come in and build workforce housing at a reasonable cost, you know, and where you need the big mansions too, because we need rich people in here to support the rest of our programs. So
yeah, so we have a lot to do with housing. So again, what I hope is that you can, with your working groups, it'll start winding down, and that our next step with housing is really getting a whole list of what these policies, what we need to have, and divide and conquer, starting to draft those policies. So hopefully by the end of 2023, we will have some very robust housing policies in place, as well as things to spend housing money on.
Why'd you play at me?
All right. Well, you're the one who wants to put the whole...
I want to also.
72,000.
Are you voting now?
Million there. Okay. Any other business? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second, Corcoran, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you all. Holy...